Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
So it's good to be here tonight. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. It's been one of them days, it just seems like, where you wake up, the Lord's with you. Everywhere you go, the Lord's with you. Just been all over me all day. Just the kind of day that I like, you know. You pray for us tonight. I told Sammy a few minutes ago, I said, I've been sitting here, and I know the Lord's got a sense of humor. I know that, because I was telling my wife on the way home from church this morning, I said, I ain't got nothing for tonight. I said, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I said, I'm just going to set some time aside and study. Well, I did. I set some time aside and studied and got where I thought that the Lord was going to have me to go, and we didn't know more than pull in the parking lot this evening, and he's like, no, you ain't going to go there tonight. And so I know the Lord's got a sense of humor, but he just wanted to see if I was going to be obedient to him. And that's what I want to do here tonight.
Amen.
And Satan's tried to tell me time and time again sitting there, it ain't been long since you preached this message, and you basically preached the same message the last time you was here. It's just different scripture. Well, that's all right. Yeah. And I was sitting there, and the Lord told me, he said, what do you think about the message that Noah preached? Noah preached the same message for 100 years, telling people to get on the boat, to get ready. So tonight, I don't care what we do. I want to get where the Lord is. I need to get where the Lord is, what the Lord have for us here tonight. And we're going to be in very familiar scripture. And I want to say it's good to be here tonight. It's good to look out and see different faces. It's good to look out and see like different churches that are here tonight. To me, I think God's pleased with that. I think God's pleased with different congregations coming together and worshiping Him. It's not about what's above the door. It's not about what's here and what's there. It's about coming together and serving Him tonight. It's about doing what He would have us to do, because there's an ultimate goal that we have here tonight. And that's to see somebody get saved, or see somebody get closer to God. And that's what we need to do here tonight, is we need to get ourselves out of the way. It don't matter what denomination we are. It don't matter what's over the door. We need to be concerned about serving God here tonight. And I think that He looks down here tonight, and I think that He's pleased that He sees. And I know that there's at least 4 different churches represented here tonight. And to me, that's where we fail as Christians a lot of times. That's where we fail as a church a lot of times, is, oh, well, they've got this, they believe this, they say this. And don't get me wrong, we have our beliefs, and we should stick to our beliefs and things. So we let some of the small details sometimes get in our way of serving God. We let some of those things get in our way of coming together with our brother and sister in Christ. When all that we really need to be concerned about is lifting Him up here tonight and showing Him that we're concerned about our lost family, showing them that we're concerned about people we got in our life. And so we'll be in, like I said, it's very familiar scripture, and you just pray for us tonight. It's Mark chapter 2. And it said, we'll start in verse 1. It said, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him, for they pressed and they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up, and they let down the bed wherein the sick and the palsy lay. You may be seated. And that's what we need to do here tonight. I know what I felt sitting there. I don't know if anybody else has felt it or not, but I know what I have felt sitting there, and that's been the Spirit of the Lord. He has bared witness with me that He's here tonight. So that's what we need to go out here, and we need to tell everybody, hey, He's here. God is in this place tonight. We need to be concerned. There's a, like we talked this morning at the radio, we can do whatever we want to do on these four, inside these four walls, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. We can claim that we have God, and we can live the best life. We can do the best things that we can do right here inside these four walls. But it's what matters is out there. When we step outside there, that's real. When the real work starts. It's easy to worship God when you're inside His house, when you've got brothers and sisters together with you that have the same common goal, that they want to see somebody saved. They want to come together. They want to worship God. It's easy to do those things when we have support behind us. But it's when we get out in the world, it's when we get confused, it's when things come at us, when the devil tempts us, says, you can't talk to your family about God. You can't talk to your friends about God. That's where we need Him the most, and that's where we have to step up the most. That's where I fail the most. I've got a daughter that's burdened for somebody in our family. She hits the altar almost every service praying for somebody to be saved. Almost every service she hits the altar. And where have I failed in that sense? I have failed in that point, because I don't have that burden as she has. And we should. I should have that same burden that she has. But we need to be concerned. We need to tell people. people about what we've got here. Not just here, not just down the road, not just over here. We need to tell people what we have in here. We need to tell people about the church. We need to open these doors wide open and say, hey, come see a man that knows everything. Come see a man that's told me everything about me. Come see a man that's changed my life completely, that I'm no longer the same person that I used to be. Because I used to be a wicked person. And I never really thought of that much. I always said that, hey, I'm not that bad. I don't do this many things. I like to drink a little bit, but I'm still not a bad person. Till the day that I got saved and God started showing me, hey, how wicked that I really was, how much of an influence as a friend that I did, how much of an influence I had on other people's lives, how much I enabled other people and brought them away from God, even people that were Christian people, even people that tried to live a Christian life. All they had to do was get around me and say, and I would say, why don't you come over here and be with us tonight? And they'd say, oh, well, I got church in the morning. I said, well, you still go to church. And I lived that life as well. I lived that life. I'd go out and raise as much cane Monday through Saturday as I wanted to. But then Sunday morning, I'd be in the church house and said that everything was okay. That's not the way all this works. There's a difference made when you really get something down in your heart. When you really get that change made, you have to have that change made for you to make a difference in your life. But what I want to get to tonight is, where are we at with our Christian walk with our brothers and sisters? That's what I was saying. We can do anything we want to do in here. It's easy in here. The Spirit flows breast to breast from in here. Just like these four men, they walked up on the service. Jesus was preaching, and it was packed. And you think of the way that the church age is nowadays, you talk to anybody, Tommy. Anybody tells you that they're ready to go. Everybody tells you that they're saved and going to heaven. Well, look around. If that's the case, why are we the way we are tonight? Amen. Why is there empty pews all over the place? Amen. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I know that there's sickness happens. I know that things happen. Yeah. But people should have a desire to be in God's house. Amen. God's people, if they are really God's people, should have a desire. So they should be knocking the doors down with the way that this world is going on. The way that the shape of the world is in, they should not be an empty seat in any church from here to Knox County. Amen. There shouldn't be an empty seat anywhere. But we're not concerned enough by our lost family. We're not concerned about our friends that are living out in the world. We're not concerned to tell everybody about Jesus. We're not concerned about our work members that tell us every day that they're Christians, but they live like hell Monday through Sunday or Saturday. We're not concerned enough to tell them because it gets in our comfort zone. We have to step out of our comfort zone a little bit. And when it gets hard, just like these men here, these men are different than us. It got hard for them, and they pressed a little harder. They pressed a little harder. They were going to do whatever it took to get there. They were going to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. What do we do a lot of times? Oh, Lord, please remember, and I'll use myself as an example. Lord, please remember my sister. She's lost, and she needs help. Close my Bible, and I'm good to go. Shame on me. Shame on me that I'm not more burdened for the lost. Shame on me that I'm not more burdened for the people that's in my family that need help. Shame on me that I'm not given everything that I have. Amen. Because He gives everything. Amen. Everything He had, He gives for me. And I'm not worthy of that, but He gives it for me. So I should do everything that I can do on this walk of earth to make sure that my family, to make sure that your family, to make sure that my friends and your friends get to heaven.
Amen.
But do I want to know? I said, I may be just preaching to myself tonight, and that's fine. That's good as well.
Amen.
But I have to be willing to do whatever God would have me to do. When it gets tough, Bill, when they come at us, Tommy, and say, hey, you can't say that. You can't preach that. You can't teach that anymore. I have to be willing to stand up and say, I can and I will by the authority of God's Word. He gives me that right. He gives me that opportunity to stand up and claim what's the truth. And as long as I stay in Him and I stay in the truth and I preach and do exactly what He'd have me to do, there ain't nothing that anybody can do about it. Yeah, they may throw me in a jail cell. They may throw me in a den of lions. They may throw me under the jail. I don't know what they'll do. But the one thing that's going to matter is there's a man there with me.
Amen.
By my side. The day that I got saved, He moved in with me. He has never left me. He has never took me for granted. He has always been right there to carry me through, no matter what evils I may go through. No matter what the world tells me that I can and I can't do, He's standing right here beside me the whole time. Right. Telling me a lot of times, hey, don't do that. Do this. But a lot of times, what do? I do this instead of do that because it's easier. It's easier to be able to serve God the way that I want to. It's easier to worship God and do what I see fit when it's something that's comfortable to me. Yeah, I can do that, Lord. I can do that. And that's something that's comfortable for me. Well, but when he says, take this step out here. Take a step out, open a radio broadcast that nobody knows what you're going to do. Take that step out. That was a hard step that I had to make. But I had to make that step because God made it. Yeah. God made the way for that. And everything just since then has fell into place for that. So I know that it was of God. Yeah. But what are we doing? Are we doing enough that our family will know? Are we doing enough that your kids will know? And they may not know right now what's going on. They may not know exactly how the world's going. They may not know exactly what needs to take place. But are they doing enough right now? Are we doing enough right now that we can worship God, that we can see God move in our family's lives? That's what we need to be concerned about here tonight is our children. I went to church a couple weeks ago, and I looked up and both of my kids are laying on the altar. One of them had been saved. One of them still going through the age of accountability and trying to figure things out. But again, I looked up and I seen both of my kids on the altar praying there again. And that's when just a peace come over me, and I thought, that's what it's all about. That's what's coming up, the next generation. You know, the world tells me that they have to accomplish all kinds of things in school. They have to accomplish all kinds of things in sports and athletics. They have to accomplish all these things to make a difference in the world. The only thing that they really have to accomplish in this life is to know who Jesus Christ is. And if they'll worship Him and serve Him the way that He sees fit for them, He will save their family when the time comes. If He don't take us out of here before then, that He will do His part as long as we're willing to do our part. That's what He is. He tells us there's nothing that'll come before us that He's not there to take care of. There's nothing that'll come before us that He won't make a way for of escape for us. But we look at these things and it gets hard. This Christian walk gets hard a lot of times. And Satan will tell you, hey, throw it down, walk away, go back to the life that you used to live. It was so much better, so much easier. You didn't have to worry about getting up early on Sunday morning. You didn't have to worry about getting up early and doing these things. You could live any way that you wanted to. You could say what you wanted to say. You could eat what you wanted to drink. You could drink what you wanted to drink. You could do whatever you wanted to do. It was easier. And in senses, yeah, it was easy. It was easy to go out and live a sinful life because Satan had you so confused. Satan had you so bound down that he didn't want you to get where God was.
Amen.
Why? Because when you get where God is, Satan has to flee away from you a little bit. He has to leave you alone. He can't do nothing to me anymore except take me back to that day. That's as far as he can ever take me is the day that I got saved, Bill. There's nothing more that he can do to me.
Amen.
But I have to be willing. I need to want that for my friends, for my family, for my daughters. I need to be willing to do anything that I can do to get them to Jesus.
Amen.
And a lot of times I'll be the first to tell you, a lot of times I don't. A lot of times I get lazy on God. I sit back and I take a back seat and say, oh, well, somebody else can pray for them. Somebody else will do these things. When I ought not be that way, Bill, I shouldn't be that way. The way that I should be is I should be so concerned about my family that's lost that I can't sleep at night, that I can't get my peace at night. I can't do these things without being exactly where God would have me to be.
Amen.
If I can't push my family, if I can't push my wife to be better towards God, and don't get me wrong, don't misunderstand me here. I have a very godly wife, a very godly woman. But there's always room for improvement in all of us. And if she sees me pushing for improvement, pushing to make sure that our daughters are accounted for, pushing to make sure that our family's accounted for, pushing to make sure that, Bill, that our family circle will be completed in heaven. If she sees me pushing for that, what's in turn that's going to do for her? That's going to give her a little bit more of a desire. Give her a little bit more of a push to say, hey, come on, dude, let's pray for this. Let's get down here. Let's get burdened about our family. Let's get burdened about our friends. And not worry about what the world tells you. Not worry that the world tells you, hey, you can't say this. You can't preach that. Not be concerned about all those things.
Come on.
We have to get to a point where the world don't matter.
Amen.
And again, I know that's hard. I know that a lot, you can look at in the Bible and there's different stories, and I'll use, you look at the adulterous woman. She was taken in the very act and brought and threw at Jesus' feet, and the Christian people, they say, threw her down at God's feet and said, look at this woman. She was caught in the very act of adultery. She was caught. She was right there. That's what we do a lot of times is we find somebody that falls. We find somebody that messes up. And we're the first ones to talk about it. We're the first ones to say, well, did you see what this and such and such did? Did you see what they're wearing? Did you see what they said today? Did you see that they're living this life? Jesus told them plain and simple, He has no sin to cast the first stone about her. Now, I'm not telling you that we don't get up here and preach the gospel, that we don't get up here and preach what God... If God tells us to get up here and stand and preach that heaven's real and hell's hot, that's what we get up here and do, no matter whose feelings it hurts, no matter what comes before us. Whatever God tells us to do, that's what we have to do. But we can't win a lost and dying world out there by talking bad about them. We can't win somebody to Christ by showing them the world. We have to win people to Christ by showing them who Christ is. And how do we show somebody who Christ is other than the way that we live our lives?
Amen.
That's exactly what we have to do. And you think about the man at the pool of Bethesda. He laid there for 38 years. People walking over him, going and getting their needs before his. Making sure that every time that the angel come down, they troubled the water. And somebody else would step in before him. He said, I had no man to get me there. We as Christian people, we are to put other people's needs ahead of ours a lot of times because we're accounted for. We're ready to go. We're saved. We know what waits on the other side for us. But there's those that are out there that don't know what's waiting. Those that are out there that don't have that peace in knowing, hey, if I close my eyes in death, hell may be my home. And we need to be concerned about those people. We need to noise it abroad that Jesus is in the house. We need to tell these people, tell everybody.
Try.
Who he is. You may say, well, I don't like to talk to people. I don't like to do that. Tommy said it this morning. We all have a testimony.
Amen.
You don't have to be a deacon of the church. You don't have to be the song leader. You don't have to be a piano player. You don't have to be a preacher. All you have to do is be a member of the living God, the church of the living God. That's all you have to do. And you have a testimony. You have something that you can tell somebody, hey, I was once this way, but no more am I this way because of a man named Jesus that come and lived a sinless life for 33 and a third years and carried an old rugged cross up Calvary's hill and hung there and nailed all of my sins to that cross that I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell anymore.
Amen.
We all have, if we're Christians, we all have that testimony. Some of us is different. It's different. We all have different testimonies. And that's what God, if it was all the same, how would God have reached more people? So we all have experienced different things and we all go through different things in our life that God can use, that God can see us through those things. But we have to be willing to push through. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get somebody to Jesus. We have to be, no matter if we show up to church and it's plumb full from the back to the front, push on through. Push on through. Get in there. The Spirit can flow back there just as good as it can up here. You don't have to be a preacher to feel the Spirit of God sitting on the front pew. You don't have to be a deacon to feel the Spirit of God. As long as you are a born-again Christian, that's your right. You're given that right. He moves in and abides in you.
Amen.
I heard somebody say earlier, I don't have to wait to get things mixed up, to get things fixed up. If he lives in me and I mess up and I fall short, I can drop to my knees that very instant.
Amen.
And I can fix it right then. I don't have to wait till somebody opens the church doors. I don't have to wait till somebody says there's an altar call. Come on. I don't have to wait on those things. But there's a lost and dying world out there that's not going to hear this gospel that we preach a lot of places. There's a lost and dying world out there that people confuse it. Say, well, all you got to do is come up here and sign a piece of paper. All you got to do is say a little prayer and you'll be ready to go. And we have to stand boldly on that and say, no, that is not the truth. You must be dealt with. The Spirit of God must be dealing with your soul, with your body, before you can ever begin to contemplate being a salvation. Because he's not going to save you without dealing with you. He's not going to save you until you realize, come to the realization that you're lost. And that you're dying and that you're going to hell.
That's right. Amen.
But it's our job as Christian people. The way that the world's in right now, it's not the sinner's fault. It's not the sinner's fault that we allow abortion to take place. It's not the sinner's fault that gay marriage is running rampant. It's not the sinner's fault that sex before marriage is okay. It's not the sinner's fault that we took the Pledge of Allegiance out of school. It's not the sinner's fault that we took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse.
Come on.
You say, well, what do you mean? God's people are responsible for the upkeep of our world. We're responsible for the upkeep to make sure that everything flows the way that it should flow. And he tells us there, he said, if my people, which are called by my... Well, let me just read so I don't mess it up.
Amen.
Yeah. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, we've allowed wickedness to take place all over the church world. We've allowed wickedness to move in the church house, and it's just okay. It's okay. It's the world that we live in. We have to turn from those things and heal their wicked ways. Then, not get one of them out of the way, not do one of them, not do two of them. We have to do it exactly the way that God tells us to do. We first have to humble ourselves and pray and seek God, then turn from our wicked ways. That's the only way that He's going to hear us. If we turn from our wicked ways and we seek Him and we pray to Him, then it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I don't believe that we're too far gone that God can't turn this place back around. And I know what the Bible says, and I know that it's going to wax worse and worse, and I know that. But you can look all through the Bible at different times in the history of the Bible where we thought that that was this is it. It's so wicked. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. The wickedness of mankind was great then. But what happened? There was a revival took place. God's people got on fire for God again. Same thing that we can do right here tonight. We can decide right here tonight that we can start a revival in our hearts. I'm not talking about a church-wide revival. I'm not talking about somebody being in a meeting place for 7 or 8 days or a week or a month or whatever it is. I'm talking about a revival that takes place in our heart. I'm talking about a revival of God's people. If we will get revived as God's people, then that revival that we're looking for will take place on down the road. But if we get where we need to be and we get burdened and get revived, then God's going to realize that we mean business. Amen. He's going to realize, hey, there's something going on in his life. There's something going on in his heart. He's trying. He's giving everything he has for me. And that's the way that we should live our life every single day. Do I? No. Golly, no, I don't. I fail that way every day miserably. But that's what I should strive for. I should strive for that so I don't have to worry about my children dying and going to hell. I should strive for that so I don't have to worry about my sisters going to hell. Because you know what the Bible also tells me? He says, if I will live for Him, that He will save my household. That tells me right there, if I will do what He tells me to do, and I'll bring my children up in the way that the Lord would have me to do, if I will be that light to this world, to my sister, if I will be this light to everything else taking place, that He will do His part. He's never stepped back on His part. He's never let His part down. He's never made a mistake. He's never said, I told you this, but I'm going to change my mind about it. I told you that I'd save you, but then I'm going to change my mind. He's never once done that. Because if He did it one time, it would all be in vain.
Yeah. Amen.
So are we ready tonight? Are we ready tonight to do what it takes to get our children when they come to that age of accountability? Are we ready to do whatever it takes? Are we ready to wear the seats and knees out of our pants? Are we ready to wear the altar out? Are we ready? Because the world tells us we can't. That's the world out there is a wicked place that we live in. And we're going to face things every single day that's going to try their best to drag us down. Because Satan don't want God's people in power. He don't want that. Because he already knows that he's defeated. He already knows that he has no more power over God than what we allow him to have. You know, we give Satan a lot of credit for things. Oh, Satan made me do this. The devil made me do that. The devil can't make me do anything anymore. I have a choice to make every single day. I have a choice to make every decision that I come. When I wake up in the morning, when my feet hit the floor, first thing in the morning, I try my best every morning to start praying to God. That's a decision that I make. Start off my day with God, or I can say, I don't need to pray today. Don't need to do that. So if I do the latter, my day's probably not going to be as good. Amen. If I don't talk to God first. And you may get to even have a good day every now and then. Satan may, because he can do that. He can convince you that you're having a good day. He can convince us that sin's okay sometimes. He can do that. He's the author of confusion. He can describe him or disguise himself as an angel of light if he needs to be. So he can do those things. Amen. But still, we have a decision to make every morning when we get up. What are we going to do with this day? Are we going to choose blessings or are we going to choose curses? Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve the world today? Are we going to pray for our family or are we not going to pray for our family? Are we going to tell our brothers and sisters that we love them, that we'd like to see them in church? Are we going to keep our mouth shut and say, oh, just you go on about your way and live the hellish way that you want to, and I'll go to my way and I'll live this way? I have to eat those words sometimes. I have to. Because I fail God in that way. Many times, many days do I fail God where I should say something to somebody, where I should witness to somebody. And I don't because I'm concerned about what so-and-so is going to say or how much time I have left on break. Or that shouldn't matter.
That's it.
Should not matter one little bit. If God's in it, God's going to make a way for it.
Amen.
But how is the sinner going to come to know Jesus without God's people stand up? Without God's people, allow that little light to shine.
That's right.
You know, your kids sing that song all the time, and they lift their finger up. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine.
Right.
Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. That's the way we have to be. That's not just a kid's song.
Amen.
That's not just for children. That's for us as well. Every single day, we need to let our light shine a little brighter than what we did the day before. And that's been my prayer the last couple of days. Lord, please let my light shine brighter today than it did yesterday.
Amen.
Not to boast on myself at all. That's not what I'm trying to say that for. But that should be every one of our desire. If we have a good day at church today, we should treat tomorrow just like we treated today. We should set time aside tomorrow to worship God. Not just today because it's Sunday.
Right.
Not just Wednesday because it's a church day. We should set time aside every day to worship God.
Amen.
I say that most of us, and I know there's a few that don't, most of us have a TV in our house. Most of us get home from work, supper gets on, sit down in front of the recliner. Sit down in the recliner, and I flip the TV on. Oh, me. And God's not telling me that I can't do the other things. He's not telling me that I have to, well, I do have to devote my life to Him. And I do have to do what He'd have me to do. He still allows me to enjoy things in this life. He still allows me to do things. But I have to put Him first and foremost in all of those things. If I'll do that, if I'll kill this flesh and not do exactly what this flesh wants to do all the time, that'll please God. Because He sees that I'm a willing vessel. He sees that we're willing vessels. And that we're ready to work for Him. That we're ready to do what He'd have us to do.
Amen.
That's what we're left here for. God didn't save us to put us on the pew. God didn't save us to keep our mouth shut. If that was the case, you can't convince me any otherwise. If that was the case, the day that He saved me, He'd have took me out of here. I would have closed my eyes in death. The second that I got up off the altar and got things right with God and got saved, He would have took me out of here if that was the case. But He didn't, because He told me I'm supposed to go out. I go out to the highways and hedges, compel those that are lost to come in. I can't save those that are lost, but I can tell them who can. I can show them about a man that can change everything in their life. And people say, one of the excuses, I'm too mean. I've done this and I've done that. That's when the perfect example, Tommy, for you to step up and say, well, let me tell you about what God did for me.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a man that was a wicked man, that loved to cuss, that loved to chase women, that loved to drink, that loved to do drugs. Let me tell you about this man. And I can tell him about that man. And I say, that guy sounds pretty rough. But I can say, that was me.
Yeah.
That was the guy, that was the old man that I used to be. That I'm no longer that same man anymore. There's been a new heart been put inside me. I'm a new creature. I no longer long for those same things that I had back then. I long for spiritual things. I long for getting with God's people. There's nothing to me better than getting in a service where God's moving and you see it on your brothers and you see it on your sisters.
Right.
You see tears flow and you see people shouting. There's nothing better for me than that.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade that for the biggest ball game in the world.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade that for the biggest high in the world. I wouldn't trade that for the best drink in the world. Because none of it adds up to the peace of God.
Amen.
None of it adds up to the satisfaction that my soul gets from being where God would have me to be.
Amen. Amen.
So I ask you tonight, are you ready? Tommy sung that song, I want to die on the battlefield. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to go to battle tonight? Is everything right where God would have it to be in your life? Or is there something stopping you from worshiping God the way that you need to? You can fix that right now.
Amen.
You don't have to wait on an altar call. Amen. You don't have to wait on Tommy to get up here and say, come before
him. Yeah.
You can fix that right now. But as the church, I'm not talking about New Providence. I'm not talking about Knob Road. I'm not talking about Harmony Baptist. I'm talking about the church
Amen.
Of God.
Right.
Are we ready? Are we ready to go to war? Are we ready to stand up and take this place back? Are we ready to stand up and do whatever it takes to get our friends back in church? Are we ready to get up and do whatever it takes to get our children saved? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to get our whole family in God's house? It may not be that we're all together somewhere. It may not be that my whole family's in the same church. They may be here, they may be there, and that's okay. As long as they're somewhere where the gospel is being preached and they're told what the truth is, I don't care where they go. But are we ready to go to battle? Are we ready to do whatever it takes? We say we are. I say I am a lot of times. But then again, when it gets hard, do I push through? Do I rip the roof off of somewhere and make a way in? No. No, I sure don't. I drop the ball and I let God down there. But the thing is He forgives me for that. Many a times, God forgives me for the way that I am. Many times a day, I have to repent for what I've done. But in coming to a close tonight, that's what I want to leave with you. Tommy, you can come get a song or whatever you want to do. Are you ready? Let's take this back. I want to take as many people with me as I can. Because I read a book, and I promise I'm trying to hush. I read a book a couple months ago, I guess it was. It was called 23 Minutes in Hell. And it was a guy. There was nothing wrong with him. Had no medical issues, had nothing. But he just fell out in his living room floor. And he said that he experienced hell. He goes into things that's biblical. Things that he witnessed, that he felt. Said that he was in a cell with demons that were throwing him up against the wall and piercing his flesh, but he couldn't die. That's what's waiting on our world out there. That's what's waiting on our family out there. There's a place called hell. We're torment. We're anguish. We're pain. We're suffering. We're loneliness. We're separation. All those things are going to be present in hell. It's going to be miserable. There's going to be torture. There'll be pain. That's where our people are headed. That's where our families are headed. That's where our children are headed. That's where our church members are headed.
Amen. Amen.
Are we ready? I mean, it's kind of, I didn't really plan on it like this tonight. But this is kind of a call to action. I mean, do we want to see what God has for us? Do we want to see God save our people? Do we want to see God save our children? Do we want to see God save our household?
Amen.
Then we have to get serious with God. Amen. He knows. He knows when we mean business, Tommy. He knows when we're just speaking vain words and we say great swelling things, but our heart can be far from us sometimes. He knows that. But let me ask you tonight, whatever Tommy's got here, are you ready tonight? I want to be ready. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that you're not going to mess up along the way, that you're not going to fail, that you're not going to have to hit your knees and repent and say, God, please help me for my ignorance. Please help me for the way that I am. We'll have to do that along the way. And God sees that. God knows that already, Bill. He knows that we're going to fail Him. He knows that we're going to let Him down. But He also knows who's serious and who wants to be a part of His
Amen.
Of a nationwide revival. He knows who wants to have that revival start in their heart. Tonight, I'm begging you, if you're not where you need to be and you don't have a burden for somebody lost, the altar's open.
Amen.
I'll pray with you. Tommy will pray with Bill. We'll all meet you here and pray with you. Whatever we can do to get some, to get a burden on our hearts for the world, for the lost. Because it's not God's will that any man should perish and die and go to hell. That hell was created for the angel and his, for the devil and his angels. That's where they were created. That's what it was created for.